Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of Adam's fall, all of us in our conception are born into sin. That original sin is something that is a part of us now because of that fall into sin. And because of that, we are inclined to continue sinning. But thanks be to God, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to continue being blind, dead, and enemies of God. In fact, as you have gathered here today, it shows that you are no longer blind, dead, and enemies of God. Somewhere along the way of your life, maybe when you were still in your mother's womb and she sang, "Jesus loves me," to you, maybe it was going to church while she was still pregnant and having the Word of God enter into your ears and into your beating heart. Maybe it was years later, the Word of God struck inside of you and the Holy Spirit worked faith. At one time, you were slaves to disobedience, St. Paul writes. You presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. And that is our state apart from Christ. So why would we as Christians follow a world that is stuck in unlawlessness, stuck in uncleanness? The answer is, of course, we shouldn't. Instead, St. Paul writes, "Now present your members as slaves of righteousness, for holiness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You have been set free from the slavery that leads to death, because that is what follows the person who rejects the saving work of Jesus Christ. Eternal death, hell, damnation. And if you were to remain slaves, shackled to that, that is what you would be spending all of eternity in. So this day and every day, give thanks to God that He has not left you in those chains, in those shackles, but He has sent His Son to break those chains and instead gives you new ones. Ones that lead to eternal life, to eternal joy, to eternal fellowship with the very God that created the heavens and the earth. What was the fruit that was produced in uncleanness, in unrighteousness? Can the world, following the lies of the devil, produce a utopia? It can't. It won't. And instead it will lead to death. But you have been set free. God has called you by His name, and He has shown you the better path, the path to eternal glory. How is it that we still don't put our whole trust in Him? How many times have we heard the miracles that God works? And maybe it's because the miracles that we receive every single day, we don't see as miracles. Each child that we held in our arms, we see is just run-of-the-mill. Every time we receive the bread that is the body of Christ, every time we receive the wine that is the blood of Christ, we don't think about how miraculous it is that every time we gather, we are built stronger in our faith, having received the forgiveness of sins. It is important that we recognize the miracles both in the Bible and in our own daily lives. Please do not confuse our gospel lesson for today with the gospel lesson for Laetare, the fourth Sunday in Lent. There is both a feeding of 5,000 plus and a feeding of 4,000 plus. These are not the same miracle. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were 12 baskets of fragments left over. This time there are 7 loaves and a few fish and 7 baskets left over. Additionally, if we were to keep reading in Mark chapter 8, after the miracle, the Pharisees will come and they will demand a sign. as though watching as 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, feeding well over 4,000 people, was not miraculous enough. So Jesus says, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." If you've had children, or if you've ever been a teacher, you'll actually completely understand his feeling in the verse right before what I read. The Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit. When you have to answer the same question over and over and over and over again, it's the same answer over and over and over again. I have told you, I have shown you, there is a better way. Look to me and live. You are so close, and yet you will be far from the kingdom. He left them. Getting into the boat again, departed to the other side, and the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread?" They still don't get it. And even after he would ascend on high, then they would finally get it. But right before he ascended, they'd be like, "Lord, now are you going to return the kingdom to Israel?" How often he was with them, how often he is with us, we have not seen it. We have not comprehended it. And it's because of these verses that come after it. "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" When we do not look at things with the eyes of faith, we fail to comprehend. When we are going through the times of trial and tribulation, when we're going through sickness or poverty, when we are struggling in these ways, do we instead look with eyes of faith to see that God is working through it? God permits and even sometimes sends suffering to his people to clean them, to wash them, to show them that they cannot do it on their own. Jesus fed the 5,000 plus, Jesus fed the 4,000 plus, and he feeds every single person yet today. Give us this day our daily bread. And he absolutely does. In fact, he gives it to all people, even those who are wicked and evil, even those who have rejected him, who will never come in saving faith to him. And yet, God gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayer. But we pray that we would remember that God is the giver of these things, that he is our Father, and that he loves us. Too often, we forget to have the joy of being a Christian. We see everything around us in the world, and it gets very frustrating. The world gets angry at the silliest and tritest of things. But of course it's going to, because it's going to try to distract you from the one thing that is needful. It's going to try to distract you from Jesus. But when you give consideration to our Old Testament lesson, we see that God has set up his watchmen, that those watchmen stand and cry, "Danger at the gates," not so that we would be gone into a lull of hearing it over and over, but that we would recognize that every single day could be the day that Jesus returned. And if he return on the day when we have completely laxed ourselves, on the day when we have rejected him, what will we say to him then? Listen to the words of the watchman, for they give care and heed to your souls. God says his people will plant and receive the benefit, will build and receive the benefit. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway. Do you not see the beauty and the urgency in this? Build his church. He has already built the foundations. Lead your children and your grandchildren to him. Take stock in what you have been given. Everything is a gift from him. Return it to him. Glorify his holy name. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You will not be a city forsaken. When the world tries to mock you for simply believing what God's word says, don't worry about it. Rather, take heart that you stand on what your Father has proclaimed, that you stand on the eternal truth, that you stand on the only hope of salvation. This far surpasses their mockery, their despisement. They are people who are called holy people. Wear that badge proudly. You are a holy people, not because of what you have done, but because you recognized that you were a wretch, and you have given a clear confession. The Holy Spirit has proclaimed through you, Jesus Christ has died for me, he is risen for me, and I cannot live eternally without him. I am a redeemed person, because he has purchased me. He has won me. He has granted me salvation apart from what I have done. And now I will live as a slave to his righteousness. In filial fear, the fear of a son that has a father that loves him. You are redeemed. You are holy, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And he sanctifies you, and he washes you, and he will present you to himself, spotless, without wrinkle. Because when the wager is looked at, and it says the wages of sin is death, Jesus will point to his own death on the cross. And by his resurrection, you are healed, and you are saved. The church sings. All who confess Christ's holy name, give God the praise and glory. Let all who know his power proclaim aloud the wondrous story. Cast every idol from its throne, for God is God and he alone. To God all praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.